B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Final hour, Felger and Maz from our Town Fair Tire Studios here at the beautiful Beasley Media Group in Dorchester is upon us. It's brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com is where you catch them on the web. Again, everything from the week we've gotten to or have yet to get to. Started with the Ravens loss this week. We've talked a lot about replay this week after that Bruins loss in Montreal and the Charlie Coyle goal being wiped off the board. The Celtics fast start. Load management in the NBA was a topic, and yesterday we spent a lot of time on the Patriots' struggles at receiver and drafting and developing young receivers, and Gasper and the Globe pretty much writing off N'Keal Harry and what they're going to get out of him the rest of the year, which is a jumping-off point for that. So we can weigh in on all of it. The phones are loaded as usual. As people jump off, you can jump on, and we just roll through it unless someone here has a leadoff thought for this hour.
God, no. Murray?
Murray?
No, not a damn thing.
Okay. Murray's leadoff take was on Rob Gronkowski. There's rumblings about Gronkowski coming back, and you hate them. You hate the rumblings.
Yeah, because it's just not going to happen. And today, from the time I woke up until the midday show, Zolak and Bertrand, like all I heard was, the rumblings are starting again. Gronk's going to come back. Greg Bedard wrote a column about it. Bert Breer wrote something about it. Zoe and Beadle started their show about it. And just enough. Like, he's now said it multiple times. He's not coming back. He's trying to pitch the CBD thing. And if you're saying this and you want him to come back, what you really are saying is you don't think the Patriots are good enough. They need Rob Gronkowski. You are scared is what it is. You're afraid the offense isn't good enough. That's why you want Gronk back. That's why you're clamoring for it. It's not that you want the excitement of Gronk. You don't want the touchdown spikes. You don't want the grab ass and all the other stuff that comes with Gronk because he's so fun. No, it's because you're afraid. You're afraid the Patriots aren't good enough to win the Super Bowl without Rob Gronkowski. And that, I think, is foolish because I think it'll be a tough go for them. They're flawed. They're definitely flawed, but so is every other team in the NFL. They're good enough to win the Super Bowl without Rob Gronkowski. They've done it before.
Okay, that's his opening take in a nutshell. How do you feel about it? To your calls, as promised, Peter in Rhode Island. Give us a Patriots thought.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I'd like to say I was a fan of Sony Michel when we drafted him. But my whole question is, are we going to get to see Damian Harris this year? I only say that because he was more of a battering ram. He can catch the ball. And I'm sick of ballerina for a running back in the backfield of Sony Michel. I'm tired of it. I'm done with him. Make him inactive and let's get Damian. Just give him a try. You know what I mean?
I mean, I think if for no other reason than to get Sony Michel's attention, motivate the guy.
Yeah, I think we got a big enough sample size to say the answer to that is no. He will not be seeing the field for whatever reason. I don't know.
I still don't think Michel is the bigger part of the issue. I'm not telling you I like Michel. I think Michelle's average. He's a really pretty ordinary player at the end of the day. But the fact is they can't block. I mean, as a team, they're averaging, what are they, 29th in the league in rushing per attempt? 29th. Oh, that blows.
Paul in the car with the Celtics thought. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Tony. You called Kemba Walker Isaiah Thomas 2.0, correct?
Yep.
Well, you know what? I'd take that over Kyrie 1.0. This guy has heart. He has determination to win. He knows when to defer to his teammates. He seems to be a great team player. He seems really coachable, and he gives a great effort every night.
And, Paul, I'm with you. I'm with you as long as there's someone better than him on the roster. I don't need the point guard to be my best player. I think, in fact, that's really threading the needle in that league. I think that this is sort of the basis of my whole thing, that someone else has to emerge other than Kemba Walker. If your point guard, your best player, ooh, it's been done. Isaiah Thomas, the real Isaiah Thomas with the Pistons, Steph Curry 1 year, you know, but few and far between. So for you to reach your max potential, one of your wings, one of your bigger players has to be better than Kemba Walker. And that to me is the equation. Kyrie Irving was your best player, and there's a shelf. There's especially when your best player is a point guard and a flaming a-hole, that's really trying to thread the needle.
Sure, and I agree with everything he said, by the way, that all those things that he said about Kemba Walker are true. Who's the better player, Kyrie Irving or Kemba Walker?
Kyrie, but I think I'd rather have Kemba Walker.
Okay, not me. Not me with the right roster construction. You know, you get someone that can keep Kyrie in line, you're fine.
Well,
and
as long as,
they,
you know,
they didn't have that.
If he's with Durant, if he's with LeBron, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, right. I mean, on the right, in the right roster construction, although he was with LeBron and he was unhappy there too.
Sure was.
Of course, they won nonetheless. But in any case.
Not the last year.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't talk to his teammates for the last 2 months of the year.
Yeah, I mean, he was a complete pud. So I'm just telling you that Kemba Walker, he's a likable player. But he's, at the end of the day, I don't know how good he really is.
Mark in Rhode Island, what do you got for us on the Patriots?
Well, one comment for Jim there. I knew he'd be happy after they lost, so he wouldn't have to gnaw his arm off there. I can remember him talking about that in the past. But what I wanted to mention was the offside calls in hockey. If they can't do that in real time when it's happened, I can't stand the replay. They got to have cameras or something, blow a horn or something, but the replay on offside stinks. I don't mind when it's the goalie, you know, if it's a goal or the goalie was interfered with, you know, to prevent it. But offside, I can't stand it.
I understand, so. Mark. A lot of people feel that way. You know that it's never going back unless they wipe it out altogether. It's never any of these in-between measures that people want. Don't slow motion it, right? Just go real time, people want. Or the screen goes black after 30 seconds. If you can't, you put a shot clock on the replay official. If you can't determine it in 30 seconds, then you can't reverse it. Things like this, all these little half measures. You understand that will never happen?
I agree, it won't.
And if it, because I'll tell you why. Because if it does, like I mentioned this earlier in the week, if it does, if you say, for example, we're not going to do slow motion, you can look at the replay, but it has to be a full speed replay, and you can only look at it for 30 seconds. And that's how we make sure that we're not going by millimeters. We're just taking clear and obvious mistakes because you can tell a clear and obvious mistake and with a real speed replay on the first couple of views. If you that goes to replay and it's a big play that decides a game, and after the 30 seconds is over, there's a new angle that comes from the truck that they didn't have in the first 30 seconds. And at the 35-second mark, the replay from the back angle comes through that shows that the ball actually hit the ground, but the play is already restarted and they can't go correct it. People are going to howl and they're going to say, well, all you had to do was wait 5 extra seconds and you would have gotten the call right. And they'd say, you're right. And so that's the slippery slope of replay. Or if, you know, you couldn't see it in a real time instant replay, but you could see it in slow motion and that is shown on TV, where when they slow it down, the ball actually did hit the ground, people are going to go, why don't you just use slow motion to get the call right? And then they're going to use slow motion to get the call right and take all the time that they need and look at every angle that's available to them. And the next thing you know, 3-4 minutes are out of your life. And it's circumcising the mosquito, and it just keeps getting worse, and that's replay. That's the insidious slippery slope of replay.
Okay, so I would like to ask Bruins fans, though, after listening to that guy, what's their biggest complaint about the offside replay rule? Or really the call the other night. What's their biggest complaint
that
about it?
It lost the Bruins the game.
Okay. So then.
Because if that went against Montreal at the Bell Center, oh, we'd be laughing our ass off.
Of course we would.
Wouldn't we enjoy the crap out of that?
So this
if Montreal lost a game to us like that in Montreal on a millimeter because Jacques Chirac's skate just went over the blue line by a millimeter, over the line of a blue blanket. Oh my God, we'd be loving it.
Le petit poisson.
Oh, we'd have a blast. So it's the fact that the Bruins lost.
Okay, well, I was going to say, what's your biggest complaint about it?
Oh, the time out of my day.
It took too long.
And
did they get the call right?
It's not in the spirit of the rule. I think they did, but some people would even tell me they got it wrong because actually kicking to the stick is possession. So, ask Mike in Attleboro with Rule 88B.
Okay, but leave the possession part of it aside.
I thought it was offsides.
Did the skate get over the line first?
I thought it was offsides, yep.
Okay. So, at the end of the day, they got it right.
I thought they did.
Me too.
I thought they did.
I don't like the spirit of the rule either. I don't want speeding tickets for going 56 miles an hour.
What I hate the most is that it's not the spirit of the rule. The spirit of the rule, the blue line is there, so you don't cherry pick, so you don't precede the puck into the zone and gain an unfair advantage by going into the zone early ahead of the puck. That did not happen in this case. He went over the blue line and into the zone at the same time as the puck. He did not gain an unfair advantage by being over the line or cherry picking or being ahead of the play. It was just a fraction of a millimeter. And so it's stupid. It's stupid that they would take that off the board in a sport starved for goals and offense, and it's just ridiculous. And it's ridiculous that it would take 3 to 4 minutes, and the whole thing is, but replay's gotten ridiculous. Replay has gotten ridiculous.
Yes, of course it has, and I don't like the fact that it took that long either, but...
I mean, basketball, it happened last night. Like, how many times did they have to go over to the scores table for something Marcus Smart did?
I mean, the basketball ones are excruciating.
Like, every other, like...
At least in hockey, the plays are big.
The scoring plays. NBA, flagrant one, flagrant two. Did he have his elbow out? Offensive flagrant. Did he lift his knee on the drive to the thing? Is it shooting, breakaway? Like, how many different things now are reviewable? Now the coaches' challenges. It's preposterous.
Yeah, it is. Again, at least in hockey, you're usually talking about a goal. It's goalie interference that allowed a goal, or it's an offside that led to a goal. It's usually a big play. I mean, you don't get that many of them during a game. Basketball? Short of the ball going out of bounds with 10 seconds left in a one-point game. How many of those are absolutely stupid?
And even then, that's gotten stupid. The NCAA title game.
That was dumb.
The thing where it was brushed out of the guy's hands, and as it was being brushed out of his hands, it sort of rolled off the tip of his finger, and that was replayed. And I guess reversed, right? I can't even remember.
It was.
Nonsense. It's all nonsense. That's one of the items on an Agenda Free Friday, and your calls right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston's home for sports.
Right circle now, Coyle right in the net, center's deflected, and Byron came back defensively. Coyle shoots, he scores! Sanderson, find him at the bottom of the left wing circle, sent it out in front to Coyle, who slams one by Carey Price. First time tonight, Bruins lead it 5-4.
Well, the initial rush was a 3-on-1, but the pass was in Coyle's skate, so he had to kind of slow up a little bit.
So the referee is over to talk to the Canadiens.
I think they're looking for offsides. Good.
Mark Chilnett,
I think they're looking for a possible offside because the pass came to Coyle and he had to take it in his skates and it was very close.
They're rolling the dice here.
Here's the question.
Does he have possession? You know what? You're right. I think it's going to be offside.
How long does this go on? How long should it go on? If you got to look at it this long, give it up, right? Just give it up. But I don't make those decisions and... Guys want to get it right, but people got to work tomorrow.
After review was determined, the play was offside. There is no...
So there's that replay thing we were talking about in Montreal. A couple of lineup things tonight. Senishin's back in the lineup tonight, Murray, is that
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Okay, so like I need to see more of that. As again, because a big overall thing for me is that something has to evolve here on this Bruins team. They just can't be the same team they were last year and expect to go get back to where they were or win it because the road's going to be harder. Okay, so it can't just be one line in goaltending. It's got to be different lines. Has to be some different players stepping up, evolving, popping, and getting that. Remember, I mean, you don't have Marcus Johansson. He was arguably your second best forward last year in the postseason. And Kim and Coyle. So something has to evolve, develop, whether it's Coyle, whether it's Bjork, whether it's Heinen, I'll still give a chance to, whether it's Zach Senishin, whether it's Anders Bjork, whether it's Charlie McAvoy taking the next step, which I still don't think he has. And that's another thing I want to mention tonight. They've started to mix up their pairs there a little bit where they're playing McAvoy with Grzelcyk. And this, I think, is telling because... Well, maybe this will unlock Charlie McAvoy a little bit. He has been playing with Chara, which plays obviously at a slower pace, more defensive-oriented, and Chara always gets the heaviest matchup, meaning the toughest matchup. So it's you're in a defensive posture with Chara out there. You are defending more than, you know, attacking, and it's not like Chara's going to join the rush and, you know, play the speed game. So McAvoy with Grzelcyk, who is more of an offensive player, is a faster player, is a skilled player. Does changing McAvoy's partner get him a little more offensive and get him to pop a little bit? And I think they're trying this.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea.
And they should. I think it's, is it Clifton with Chara, which is, you know, that's your sixth defenseman with your first, you know, number one defensive defenseman. But it's like they're both going to play defense. And I don't know. I think it's worth a shot because I've not seen that, you know, that pop from Charlie McAvoy yet.
So the question then, because, you know, and I know I'm bouncing over to the first pairing now, but like, are they going to be able to get the puck out of the zone? Well, you know.
Well, I mean, what is your first pairing? It's Krug, Carlo.
So well, right,
so,
right.
So
right.
That stayed the same.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't think Chara Clifton is your first pairing.
So I think of that as first just because Chara's there.
I mean, they don't really have one. They've sort of mixed it up. But I think it's worth doing because McAvoy's the guy. He's the guy. He's got to be Drew Doughty. And he hasn't yet. You know, he's not. He's been fine, but I don't think he's been anything special. I haven't really noticed him.
I like the idea.
So,
I mean, it's a good idea. It's worth a shot.
Keep an eye on that.
Especially against Detroit.
You know, they've done it a little bit the last couple of games. So now they're like, I feel like they're really sort of committing it to it as a lineup change. And I think it's worth whatever you can do to get McAvoy going. I think they got to try.
I mean, that Krug Carlo one works.
Yeah, no, that's been there for a little bit now.
Yeah, no. I know going back to the playoffs, last year, like particularly in the postseason, that pair worked.
Okay, so we've got that and everything else on the board here. Mike in the car with the Celtics thought. Yes, Michael.
Hey, guys. As I'm sitting here listening to the Bruins talk, we got my blood boiling. Real quick. They should institute a seconds rule on the game clock. Like, you can only challenge the play if the goal is scored within 10 seconds of them entering the zone.
Yeah.
But besides that, Celtics thought they need a big man. Andre Drummond is coming off maybe a year and a half left on his contract. If we make a strong enough push in the East, might be worth looking into. That's my take.
Okay. Yeah, Andre Drummond. I've always liked him.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't play him at the end of the game because of the foul thing.
Right. I mean, he shoots like under 50%, doesn't he? Right around there.
But
he may have gotten a little bit better. I'll check it. But even so, it's not typically what they want.
What does he make?
Oh, he's a lot.
Does he make like
27 a year, I think?
Okay, so you got to send major money out the door.
Yeah. Yeah, he makes a lot. And, you know, there is a free agency thing there. I can't remember if he signed or if it's an option. Whatever. But, I mean, a big guy that can defend the rim, could make free throws, would be nice.
But they typically shy away from, again, the guy who just defends the rim.
It's an offensive liability.
And doesn't, you're right, doesn't shoot, doesn't, you know, you don't have to defend on the other side of the floor. They don't like those guys.
So this year he's up to 67%
of
the line, which is, you know, but again, it's early in the year. Last year he finished at 59, and for his career, 452.
It's brutal.
This is going to be the problem for Celtics fans at the deadline. Marcus Smart might have to be the cost to get you a big man.
So I was going
to
say, something's going out the door, fans. I mean, you can't just sign this guy. You can't, you know, it's, you're over the cap or close to it. Doesn't the money have to match, Jimmy? Are you over the cap?
It has to be within 15%.
So something's going out. Would you trade Marcus Smart for Adams there in Oklahoma City or Drummond or a player like this?
Not at this stage, no.
No, it can't be Smart. He's still like, he is the leader of this team. He's like the heart and soul of this team, so no.
So then where else is the money coming from?
Right. And when I say not at this stage, I mean, I don't think that's the piece that puts you over the top.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. If it puts you over the top,
you're still losing to the Clippers.
Right. So then, you know, so you have to weigh that. Like, I would rather stay the way I am and wait for the guy I really want. And then if that doesn't come, it doesn't come. But you're going to be no worse off by keeping him. You follow me?
Yeah. Ryan in Dorchester on the NHL replay. Go ahead.
Hey, what about just an idea where if it's in the zone for more than 30 seconds, you just can't challenge it?
So 30 seconds is a crap ton of time. The previous caller said 10.
But my thing is, like, I'm sick of the goals that are happening, like, it's like down there for a minute and a half, and then all of a sudden they're going back and replaying this, and I'm like, how did that have an effect? Or if the guy just doesn't touch the puck, that's offside.
So to me, like, it's not that. It's, does the other team have a chance to possess? If the other team has a chance to possess, then you shouldn't be able to replay it. And that doesn't even mean possess. You know, what if the puck's sitting right there for the other team to touch and he whiffs, but he had a chance to possess? If the other team has a chance to possess, once that happens, you can't go back and review it. Like, that to me would be the fix. But there, again, I don't think there's going to be any half measures. It only goes the other way.
They want to eliminate judgment. They don't want to add it.
Bill in the car on the Patriots. What do you got for us, Bill?
You guys are a bunch of maroons. Listen, so yesterday I hear you say that Belichick lucked into drafting Brady. Now, Belichick is like...
You don't think that was... Hold on. Whoa. You don't think that was luck?
Absolutely not. Let me tell you why. He knew Brady was going to be great. But he also knew that he was going to be on the board when he was on the board. So why would he waste a fourth or fifth pick when he knew Brady would be there, knowing he would be great?
Well, it's not
hang up and listen.
Yeah, so it's not wasting a fourth or a fifth if the guy is going to be great. Why is that a waste?
And how can you – you don't know who's going to be on the board when you get to the sixth freaking round.
It's like you always say, Maz, if you could come back as anyone, who would it be?
Bill Belichick. Because even when you're stupid, people think you did it on purpose.
The dear leader, Bill Jong-un. Everything he does is perfect.
Seriously.
Oh, my God. I'm
plays 18 holes. He finishes with a score of 18.
I mean, look, Brady was a winning lottery ticket.
The Patriots themselves would tell you they were lucky. Even them, with their freight train out of control egos between Bill and everyone else down there. Even they, Scott Pioli used to have a pitcher on his desk. And I'm this is going to be mostly right, because I can't remember the exact details, but it was something like, what?
Mostly.
Well, for us, that's good. Like, I'll take that.
Anything over 50% is pretty good.
No, but I think he had a pitcher on his desk that had Dave Tichelsky on one half of the pitcher and Tom Brady on the second. Something like this. If you Google it, I bet it'll come up. That Scott Pioli had some sort of reminder on his desk. Dave Tichelsky. Have you heard of Dave Tichelsky, caller?
Nope.
They took him in the fifth round. He was a tight end out of Boise State. They took him in the fifth round. They took him 150 selections before Tom Brady. 150 selections before. They took him at 141 in the fifth round out of Boise State. I heard this kid was so ill-equipped for the NFL that he actually called home homesick. Like a kid at camp, like, it was a complete basket case. They took this guy 150 picks before Tom Brady that draft. And I think Scott Pioli had some sort of reminder on his desk. And again, if this isn't word for word accurate, something like this, that he had some sort of reminder on his desk that is how fine of a line the draft is and how luck plays into everyone. If they thought Tom Brady was Tom Brady, would they have taken Adrian Clem in the second round? Or J.R. Redmond in the third?
Yeah, Redmond was a good player, Felger.
Or Greg Robinson Randall in the fourth?
Yeah, he was a tackle in the Super Bowl team.
Or Dave Tichelsky in the fifth?
He would have been a player if he didn't have a breakdown.
Jeff Marriott in the fifth. Then they got to the sixth and drafted Antoine Harris at 187. And then came Brady at 199. They were debating him, or was it Tim Rattay? Was that the other guy that they were going back and forth on?
Yeah, Bill
on?
Knew he was going to be there.
It's okay to be lucky. It's okay. It's good.
Come on.
It's not luck. It's just perfection.
Bill knew he was going to be there because everyone else is stupid. He said, nobody's going to take that Brady guy because they're all idiots. They don't see what I see.
No, and then as soon as Bledsoe got hurt, Bill put Brady in there and kept him in there the whole way. Oh, that's not exactly accurate because Bledsoe actually did come back into the game after he got hit by Mo Lewis. People forget this. People tend to leave this out. But he did come back, I think, in for a series or a play. So Bill was... They liked Brady. They moved him up the depth chart. This is all true. But after Bledsoe recovered after the Mo Lewis hit, he went back in the game. So just FYI.
So I need to ask you a fact-based question because I remember there was some sort of video production where Pioli actually says, you know, we got lucky or something like that. Has Bill ever said it?
I don't know. And I don't know what the video that you're talking about with Pioli. I just know he had that little draft reminder.
Yeah, there was something, though, where Pioli said, or maybe it was in print. I read it. I thought it was a video where he said, look, you know, we'd be lying if we told you we think we knew this guy was going to be what he is. I just wonder with Bill's sort of ego and the importance of coaching, whether he sort of says, well, we picked him in the sixth round because he was a sixth round pick, and we turned him into something more than he is.
Do you know who takes credit for him? It's Bobby Greer. Bobby Greer says he put all the work in on him. He's the one that had him on the draft board. Bobby Greer was still there, I think, for the 2000 draft. I think he was still in the room. And he's the one, I think if you look on his wiki page, I think one of the lines on there is drafted and promoted Tom Brady to the Patriots at the draft in 2000. So this is like, you know, success as a thousand mother, whatever that stupid phrase is. So anyway, there's your little Tom Brady story.
Yeah, it was all part of the plan. They waited till the sixth.
Here's Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and
Mass. That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Marcus Moore whips a bounce pass to a cutting Gordon Hayward, who gets to the rim and lays it in, and that was a perfect pass from Marcus Smart.
That was a skimmer across the pond. No, you never threw those, John. Can't do that in the city. Yeah. What?
Marcus Smart's a good passer, too.
He is. Yeah, he is.
Excellent.
He's not a flashy passer. In fact, he gets into trouble when he tries to be flashy. But in terms of seeing the passing lanes,
good passer.
Yeah, it's very deliberate, sort of, and fundamental, but he sees it.
What stood out to me watching the game last night is the number of easy baskets you got. And when you're going good, you get easy baskets. Easy baskets. Layups, and not just in transition, which you had a bunch, but just, you know, extra pass or breaking down the defense, just easy shots. And all Charlotte had was launching. You know, they'd make a few threes and climb back into within nine or whatever. And then you get a couple easy baskets and it's back up to 15. Like, that was the whole game. And I just, I feel like Maz is going to be a tough year for you. I mean, very green kind of year.
Oh, really?
Yes. They're going to have a really good regular season.
Yeah. So tough for me. Why? Because of my take?
Yeah. You have to listen to us. You're going to have to listen to the people on the pro side of it down your throat all season, yes.
You're implying that I don't have to listen to you the rest of the time. Like, what's the difference? I sort of look at that and say, you know, again, maybe they'll win 52 games. I don't know. I'd say under. That's sort of my gut. And at the end of the day, they're going to get into the playoffs and get bounced in the second round anyway.
Now, here's what's happening, is that they're going to finish with the first seed in the East. Philly and Milwaukee are going to play each other in the second round. And so you don't have to go through both of them. You have to go through one of them.
And then you'll lose.
Perhaps. Get back to me, game six of the East Finals. That's the least they're going to be, is game six of the East Finals.
I admit that when it comes to the NBA,
They win in five. Unless they win in five. But their floor is game six of the East Finals.
Losing in six.
Yes, that's losing in six, right. Yep.
Yeah. I have to admit that when it comes to the NBA, particularly, you know, my standards are very, very different than in every other team in town. I do. To me, it's all in the NBA's pass-fail. Like, you're either a championship-caliber team or you're not. And that's the end of it. Like, I with that league, I just have no choice but to do it that way. It's very existential of me.
Okay, and basketball's not even my sport, but my basketball instincts, when it comes to my NBA instincts, are outstanding. They're excellent.
Oh, really?
They're excellent. Turns out the thing I know the least about, I have the best instincts with.
Oh, yeah. No, you're.
I did. I told you last year, too many mouths to feed, and you all went, ugh. And it turned out to be exactly right. Exactly right.
No, you are. You are a regular Oscar Robertson.
I told you when the Lakers were smoldering ruins and you were building this great thing that, watch out, the Lakers will get there before you, and it's close. It is close.
I mean, that took special insight.
Well, no one else is willing to do it.
L.A.?
The Lakers, everyone was like, ugh, idiot, the Lakers, no one wants to go to the Lakers, they're not the Lakers anymore. Ugh. And they only got two of the five best players in the league, just like I told you they would.
You are.
Yeah, but there was a window there where they couldn't get a meeting with Durant.
So what?
Felger Stradamus.
Told you eventually it would happen. They'd get the best players, they always do.
They're still not there, though.
And when LeBron and
they got two injury-plagued players now.
Yeah,
neat.
Exactly what has happened to the Lakers, what I told you what happened to the Lakers.
Mike Stradamus.
They still haven't gotten there. You've gotten further than them during this window.
When it comes to the NBA, I've been exactly right. I've nailed the Lakers thing. Would you rather
be like take erosion is what that is.
Would you
wait around long enough and maybe something will happen? Like that Lakers thing?
No, the Lakers thing when they were a lottery team every year, I said they'll be in the finals and win before you do. Because they'll get the best players in the league.
It. When did they get there?
Have they won?
No, yeah. I'm saying, right. But I'm telling you, that's pacing to be right. I'm on pace there.
Take erosion.
Oh, now we're doing pacing.
What does that mean, take erosion?
you know, like how the Grand Canyon was formed. And just give it time. Just time. Well, time will let things happen. Eventually, we'll get there. That take will eventually come true because it is L.A. and it is a destination. But you made it sound like, nope, it's imminent. It's imminent. But now you just keep throwing it out there, and eventually
it was imminent.
Will, yep, it will erode to be correct. And take like, erosion.
In 2 years, they've turned around. It's you and them. They're the number one seed in the West, and you're the number one in the East.
Oh, it's kind of like global warming, right? That the icebergs will eventually melt.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And he'll be right.
Yep. I still don't get the analogy.
Take a warming.
Nailed the thing.
Yeah, the Lakers got LeBron James last year, and they won 37 games. Well done.
And this year, I told you that the Celtics were going to be right back. And look who's right again. My NBA instincts, impeccable.
Welcome back to Naismith and Maz.
Here's Wayne in Yarmouth. Hi, Wayne.
Impeccable. Okay. This will probably make Maz laugh like hell, but one of the things I like to focus on is defense. And Daniel Theis, so far this year, not offensively, certainly, because we miss Horford there, but defensively, this guy has done the job.
Oh, yeah, he's been a regular Bill Russell.
Here you go,
Wayne. No. He's second now behind the Brow in blocks for the year, and he opens up the middle.
But
think
behind who?
It. He opens up that middle, and look at the shots
Davis.
That these guys are getting inside now that they didn't have before.
Oh, I know he is. He is an eraser in there, isn't he?
No, not an eraser. He's solid. He's strong. He pushes guys around. Smart is the greatest defensive guy we've had. Theis is adding to that. The two of them together are making a difference, Maz.
Yeah, how was he? How was he in the paint against Philly?
This is where people lose me. It's like
Daniel Theis has made a difference.
He's been Horford light.
He's right. I am going to laugh.
Theis has
Daniel
been good, Maz.
Theis. Oh, yeah, the human eraser. He does. He just erases all their defensive mistakes, cleans them up. Freaking Bill Russell Jr. in there. The white Russell. That's his new nickname, the French Tickler and the White Russell.
Make the shirts.
I will say, if the guy could shoot, man, he'd score 50 a night because they leave him wide open. He can shoot whenever he wants. Here's Anthony and Danvers. Go ahead, Anthony.
Daniel Theis.
Hey, how you doing?
I like Theis.
Would you trade Tatum if it gets you an older veteran and you can make it to the finals right now, similar skill set? Would you trade Tatum? Because I'm not willing to give up Smart.
Like, for example, like for who?
Chiefs, Siakam, who's not that much older, but, you know.
No.
No.
So would you trade Tatum for, well.
And he's not old.
How about this? Tatum straight up for Karl-Anthony Towns. And I know the money doesn't work, but work with me.
Yeah, yeah.
So that one's tougher because Towns is young, right? Like, ideally, I want the two of them together.
If you want Karl-Anthony Towns.
I'd move Brown for him.
If you want Karl-Anthony Towns, they're going to ask for your best young player that they're going to probably deem to be Tatum. Why would you ever do a trade with Boston and not ask for their best young player in return?
Of course.
So that's a fair, that's a good question. Tatum for Karl-Anthony, a centerpiece for Karl-Anthony Towns. Because you'd have to give up more.
Yeah, I might do that. If you can keep Hayward, I might do that. Yeah, I might.
Do you even need to make that kind of trade? You absolutely think you do, Maz, right?
No, you don't need that kind of trade. You get Theis to clean up the paint.
See, a lot of green teams would tell you don't even need that. Sean and Dedham, go ahead.
Yeah, what's up, guys? Yeah, Daniel Theis. Hopefully he'll be their best player this year. That'll be good. You know, I know the NBA, you need more superstars than any other league, but I don't understand your guys' obsession to try to pinpoint who is going to be the best player on this team. They're not going to win a championship no matter who it is, so why not just spread the ball around? If you have two or three guys and it's hard to decipher who the best player is, I mean, can't that be a better team than one guy to have any? Whatever that year was, Detroit Pistons. Who was their best player?
Yeah, that's the aberration. That's the aberration. That's the great aberration. Generally speaking, there's a guy. There's a guy. And if you go through, we can go backwards through the championships. Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Tim Duncan or Kawhi Leonard. We just keep going backwards. I'm just doing this off the top of my head.
Like, yes, no, it's typically a megastar.
Those teams are not any given night. It's this guy or that guy. It's the guy.
No, it's a megastar. Really, it's a megastar. You got to have a megastar more often than not to win. And everybody says, well, what about the Pistons? Fine.
The aberration.
Right. One out of how many champions in that league in the modern era?
Correct.
So you're playing, what, a 5% chance? Now, that said, Luke in Vermont, I thought, made the best argument for that yesterday when he said, you don't have a choice. And he's right. If you don't have the superstar, what other choice do you have than to try to be the Pistons?
Right.
You have to do it that way. So he's right. You don't have a choice.
And the Celtics might always be in that spot, unfortunately.
They might be.
And you're not the only ones. A lot of teams. But you're not going to really lure the elite free agent superstar. You'll get the Kemba Walkers and the Al Horfords, but you're not going to get the Kevin Durants. And you could trade for them, but they're probably not going to re-sign. So, like, those are short window guys like Kevin Garnett. The only other option is to tank and get the number one overall pick in the right year. So you're kind of forced into being that team where any given night, which sucks for you. It sucks for most of the league. That's sort of a big picture thought right there.
Maz, Tice leads the NBA in block percentage.
Ooh.
Block percentage.
Wow. Block percentage.
Block percentage.
10.7 block percentage.
He does. He reminds me of Steemsma.
He's got the same timing as Greg Steemsma.
It's too late in the week for me to ask you what block percentage is. Max in the truck for Murray. This is go ahead, Murray.
Or
Max.
Helps me.
Go, Max.
Hey, what's up, guys? So I'm so sick and tired of hearing Gronk's coming back. Gronk's coming back. He's not coming back. Has anybody seen a picture of him? He's like skinny as a rail. So I'm just getting tired of everybody saying that Gronk's coming back. Beetle and Zoe are talking about it. And also, the Patriots should have drafted DK Metcalf. He went 64th overall to Seattle instead of Harry.
Okay, babe. Yeah, we've been over that. I'm also done with the Gronk thing. I mean, it's Murray's take, but did you hear what the other guy and the other team said? I'm done with that. Done. I'm done with what Rob Parker said. Like, you'll have to do that on your own time. And I'm done with the Gronk. After that pregame show I had to watch with him on Fox, I told you.
Hey, out of business with Gronk.
Window is closed in me and Gronk. If he's in uniform on a Sunday, then I'll talk about him. Other than that, it's up to you guys.
Yeah, and so if you want to maybe talk about another guy that could have drafted, and I mentioned him to you off the air the other day, Maz, the Dawson Knox, the tight end that's actually been pretty good for the Buffalo Bills.
I like that guy.
Handful of picks after Damian Harris, who is a healthy scratch week in, week out. You need a tight end here. It's been one of the issues. I think it's one of the things that's been frustrating Tom Brady. Another guy you could have had. Never mind DK Metcalf.
Okay, that puts a wrapper on your wonderful phone calls. Coming up next, the final word. Do we have fresh material here, Stu? What do we got?
We do. Fresh Squeaky Maz and Mad Mike.
Ooh,
beauty.
Nice. Looking forward to it right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
No.
So, new Mad Mike, new Squeaky Maz. Where do you want to start?
Okay, so the Squeaky Maz, they're separate, right?
Yep.
Squeaky Maz would be...
Could be something about the Patriots defense, maybe.
You got that right.
Let's do it.
All right, let's start with a Squeaky Maz on the Patriots defense.
I'm just telling you, I'm really starting to think the first 8 weeks might have been an illusion. And, you know, I'm not telling you a complete illusion, but something of an illusion. Again, when you go back and look at the passing offenses, holy crap, do they all suck. Jets are 32nd in passing in the league. You played them twice. Miami's 31st. Cleveland's 30th. Buffalo's 28th. The Giants are 27th. The Redskins are 25th. Pittsburgh's 22nd. And they've gone up. You couldn't find eight more suckbag passing attacks than what the Patriots have played. They are all suckbag offenses and through the year. Holy crap. 32nd, 31st, 30th, 28th, 27th, 25th, 22nd. Wow! Like, could you find more dog crap to put on your schedule in terms of passing the ball than what the Patriots have played? Holy crap, is that dog food! Seriously, that is absolute freaking horse manure of a passing schedule. Boy, does that suck! 32nd, 31st, 30th, 28th, 27, 25, 22. You couldn't find 8 worst passing offenses if you went down to the freaking Hockamark League. I almost swore there.
I liked it.
Holy crap. Wow, if they played garbage. Then they go up against one guy who can run, and they made him look like Joe Montana in the process because they couldn't stop the run. I'm sorry, that one shook my confidence in the defense.
Obviously. excellent. What's the Mad Mike? Give me a hint.
Offside rule.
Nope. Also football related.
I don't know.
If you hated the idea of the boogeyman shirts, what's something else you would hate?
Oh, team pictures.
There it is.
What's a big deal with them taking a team picture?
It's like the Texans Letterman jacket thing.
It is?
I think so. You don't think they play the Ravens, that's not going to be up in all the Patriots stalls?
Oh, the Patriots put everything up on their stalls. Like those babies?
It's all. You know, the rabbit eared Patriots? Well, all they do is turn like, oh, you hear what they said about you? Like that's all they do. Like that doesn't mean anything. I can pull a fart in the hallway and they'll put up in their locker stall. Oh, just see what Felger did. Like, that's all they do. You hear what he said? You hear what he said? Oh, he said this. He said that. Oh, can you believe he said that? That's the whole Patriots experience. That doesn't mean anything. Were the Ravens out of line for taking a team picture after the game?
For a regular season win, what'd you accomplish? If the Red
if
Sox
the Pats
were,
did it, you'd be all.
Oh
over.
My God!
Oh, no. Oh, you mean like, I don't know, beating 8 suckbag teams and then nicknaming your defense?
Well, okay, that's fair. That is
they
fair.
Lose everything. My God, it's like every single NFL Network special. You know what he said? You know what he said? Oh, he said this? He said that? Can you believe he said that?
But the point is,
it's the same crap.
Win a postseason game, then you can take all the pictures you want.
It's preposterous.
I think we should do a team show picture. Bedard, you're out.
Excellent. All right. Thanks to Hardy, as always, for putting that together. Jones is standing by for his brand of nonsense. What do we got today there, Adam?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the midway point, just about, right? Bye week. So I think Arkan's got some grades over there, right, Arkan?
Oh, yeah, did some grading today.
The professor is in the house.
That's
so,
right.
You know, he did his offensive line, his defensive line, quarterback. The quarterback is what you're interested in.
Yeah. What did you give the quarterback?
What did you give the quarterback for a grade?
Find out at 6 right here in the I gave him a C-. C-.
Whoa.
C-minus for the quarterback.
Attaboy, Christian. You're learning.
Nice. All right. So, Jones.
Am I wrong?
Well, yeah, you're a little tough.
Sounds a touch
higher. Sure about
that. Really blame him. I don't think he's
I'm sorry, not C minus, C plus B minus. That's what I get.
Jones said a touch high. All right, do you need any further introduction?
Nah, it's not. Actually, maybe.
You have a new favorite basketball player, don't you?
Oh, yeah, Miles Bridges. Love Miles Bridges after going toe-to-toe with Marcus Smart. Yeah, we'll probably talk about that, too.
Okay, here comes Jones. No commercials, just an update. Enjoy the bye weekend, everybody. We're back at Monday at 2.
Have a nice weekend, Michael.
Talk to y'all then.
You too, Murray.
Anthony, you as well. James, and William, all of you guys. See you Monday at 2.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.